A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Mystery Frequency.
And thank you all for tuning in. A reporter from London that travels the Western United States, documenting his adventures and the people he meets. However, the more he travels, the more he becomes a part of the violent and chaotic years of the Old West. Today's episode, the 1958 series, Frontier Gentlemen. Created by Anthony Ellis, this Western was gritty and more realistic and intended for an older audience. And you'll find those same episodes here in Volume 1. Please let me know what you think of it through the comments on Spotify or through the many ways to reach out to me through the links in the description. And while you're there, if you could please follow, review, and rate the podcast, that would really help out the show and make it much easier for people to find it. And don't forget to check out this week's poll in the descriptions also. And with all that, please enjoy the show.
There's a town in Montana Territory where it's against the law to carry a gun. The sheriff lives by this order, but because of it, other men can die.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual accounts. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territory. Now starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
The journey had taken 98 days from St. Louis. I had come by riverboat up the Missouri, the little stern wheeler climbing, churning, scuttling over 2,000 miles of sandbar and rapid, then into the lonely wastes of another, swifter stream, the Yellowstone, until we finally docked at South Sunday in Montana Territory. My ticket had cost $300, which left me about 50 in my pocket, and the slim hope that there would be a letter at the express office with my remittance from England.
Afternoon. Just in off the boat?
Right. I wonder if there's a letter for me, J.B. Kendall.
Any trouble on the way up? I hear the Sioux been kicking up their heels. Sitting bulls making big medicine again. Don't sound good.
We didn't see any.
Kendall, you English, ain't you?
Yes.
I figured by your talk. Don't see many of you in these parts. Nope. Nothing for you, mister.
You're sure? It's rather important from England.
Nope. Nothing. Maybe tomorrow on the overland, though. They say, are you planning to stay a while?
I think so.
Better get and register, then.
Register?
Over to Sheriff Clanton's office. There's a notice on the wall, maybe missed your attention. All strangers to South Sunday will, within 1 hour of arrival, register at the office of the sheriff or be prosecuted. That's Clanton's orders. Surprised you missed the signs. They're all over.
Thank you.
Well, that's all right. Wouldn't want to see you in trouble. This ain't the healthiest town in the territory, not for strangers.
Oh, any particular reason?
Excuse me. Afternoon, Mr. Farley. This here's Mr. Kendall, just off the boat. I was telling him about registering.
Now, that's a good idea.
Dick Farley is one of the sheriff's deputies. Helps keep Sal Sunday law-abiding. Big job.
What's your business, Mr. Kendall?
Ooh, you might call me a jack-of-all-trades. Am I? I do a little writing for a London newspaper, you know. An Englishman's view of the Wild West, that sort of thing.
We don't take the strangers.
Oh, really? Shame. I've been looking forward to my visit.
Yeah, well, now you've seen it. You know what it's like. So supposing you get yourself back on that boat and try up the line to Rosebud at Junction City, huh?
I don't think so. Now, if you'll pardon me, I'll register at your office.
You carrying a gun?
No.
Put your hands up. Over your head. Hiya. Now, you hold it just like that. Just so. All right. That's your baggage?
Yes.
Pick it up.
I beg your pardon?
I said pick it up.
Oh.
All right, come on.
Tell me, Mr. Farley, how did your town get its name?
How should I know?
Oh, I thought you'd take an interest, just as a matter of pride, a civic pride.
Mister, I don't like the way you talk or what you say, so you shut your mouth. Here? Inside.
Where you been, Dake?
I've been checking on this fella, Frank. He just come in off the boat. He says he's a writer at a newspaper in London or something. He ain't caring nothing. I searched him.
You're Sheriff Clanton?
Yeah.
J.B. Kendall. I understand I have to register.
Yeah. A writer, huh? You want to write about South Sunday?
I might.
How come?
As a matter of fact, the name intrigued me.
You kidding?
No, not at all. I write about the West, and you're in the heart of it. From what I understand, there might be trouble brewing with the Sioux and the Cheyenne. I'd like to be here if it blows up.
What's the name of your paper?
The London Times.
You ever hear of a Dake?
No.
Mister, all kinds come to these here parts. Now, I ain't exactly calling you a liar.
It's quite all right. One can't be too careful. Here, my papers.
Okay, be careful. Very subtle. Yeah. London Times. That's what it says. Here, you see, Dick?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Any other strangers get off the boat with him?
No, just him.
Well, you sound all right to me, Mr. Kendall. Now, just you remember, I got a set of rules here. You live by them while you're here, you'll get along.
That seems fair enough.
No man, except them authorized by me, carries a gun in South Sunday. That way we don't get a bunch of crazy, liquored-up miners and the like shooting up the place.
It seems the usual thing for a man to be armed in most places.
It ain't usual here. It's against the law.
Oh, I see.
You got yourself fixed up at the hotel?
No, not yet.
Well, and you go on over to the Empire, Mr. Kendall. You tell them Frank Clanton send you. They'll take care of you.
Very good of you.
Dake, take a look at his baggage.
Right.
Well, you're going to search my luggage?
That's right, mister. There are no guns in South Sunday, not worn or hidden.
That's a law.
I haven't got one.
I sure am glad to hear. I like a peaceable man. Yes, sir. A fella like you might think of settling down here in South Sunday. It's the quietest little town in Montana Territory. It's an opportunity for a man.
Well, I'll keep it in mind, Mr. Clanton.
There ain't nothing in his bags.
Well, now, Mr. Kendall, you enjoy your stay here. Anything you want, you just ask me. And, I'd appreciate it, sir, if you put my name in your paper. Whatever you want to say is okay with me.
My hotel room was a palace in comparison to the cabin on the riverboat. After cleaning up, I went downstairs to the saloon bar in the hotel, ordered a drink before dinner. The place was practically empty, but I wasn't alone for long.
Hi. You're the English fella, aren't you, Kendall?
Yes, that's right.
I'm Lila. I work here. Frank Clanton said be nice to you. I'm being nice. You want to buy me a drink? It's on Frank.
Oh, delighted, delighted. Bartender...
Champagne, Harry.
Yeah.
Frank says it's not ladylike to drink whiskey. Hey, what'd you do to that man? I never seen him like this.
He thinks I'm going to write about him for my paper.
Are you?
More than likely.
You going to write about me, too?
If you want me to.
I'm Dake Farley's girl. Dake doesn't like you. He got mad when Frank said to be nice to you.
Does everybody in South Sunday do what Clanton tells them to do?
Sure.
Why?
Here's a drink.
Oh. Well, good luck. Look here, Lila. What about Clanton?
You seem like a nice fella. Don't ask questions.
Well, what about you, then?
Me? What do you care?
Where are you from?
I was born in Ohio. Got married and came out west. 5 years back, my husband got killed in a gunfight. I don't know. I kind of drifted around. Ended up here, one place as good as the next.
Is it?
Yeah, I guess. What about you? Your home's in England, huh?
It was.
You one of them lords with hoops or something?
No, not exactly.
Married?
No, no, no.
Must be interesting traveling around, seeing new things.
Oh, it has its advantages.
But I suppose you'll be glad to get back home.
Well, let's just say that one place is as good as the next.
Oh. You can't go back, huh? Trouble?
In a way. Ah. Look, your friend's just come in, Mr. Farley.
Listen, you be careful with him. Dake can get awful mean.
Doesn't he take orders from Clanton, too?
Don't talk smart like that to him. It riles him.
Ah, Mr. Farley. Good evening. Would you join us?
No. I just come to say, don't you get no ideas about Lila.
Now, what ideas do you think I'd have?
I'm telling you.
You're telling me what?
Keep your hands off my girl, you understand?
My dear fellow, I haven't touched your girl. The thought never entered my mind.
We were just having that drink, Dake, like Clanton.
Lila, you keep out of this.
Do you know that I find your manner toward this young lady rather offensive?
Oh, you're just asking for trouble, aren't you?
Not at all.
Now, you think you can come in here with your fancy talk, your fancy ways, and make a fool out of me? Now, maybe Frank's a sucker, but not me. I don't like you. I don't trust you one bit.
Mr. Farley, it couldn't be of less consequence. What do you think of me?
He'll kill you just like
he... Shut up!
Oh, that I don't stand for, chum.
Oh, my God.
Imagine it's broken. Now, if you don't mind, I'll relieve you of these. A chap of your disposition has no right running around with even one gun, let alone two.
Get your hand up.
You should have killed him.
What on earth for?
Listen, there's two more besides Dake and Clanton. They'll get you. You won't have a chance.
I think you'd better clear out before Mr. Farley starts bleeding. He's not going to be in a very nice mood.
Where are you going?
Down to Mr. Clanton's office. I've got to have a little talk to him.
In a moment, we'll return to Frontier Gentlemen. Who gets the last word? It all depends on who's playing CBS Radio's fascinating game Tuesday evening with Dr. Bergen Evans. A regular panel member is the witty and erudite John Mason Brown. Other guests vary from week to week. This Tuesday, they'll be Gary Moore and Lael Wertenbaker. These bright people take off from language questions sent in by listeners and cover all sorts of fascinating ground before one or another of them ultimately gives you the last word on the question. Get the last word this Tuesday when it comes to you over most of these same stations. And now we return you to Anthony Ellis' production of Frontier Gentlemen.
Mr. Kendall, wait. Oh, you can't go down there. Dake went out the back. He'll tow Clanton by now. They'll be waiting.
That's all right.
What's the matter with you? You want to die?
Of course not.
If you're gunning for them...
Gunning for who? I'm not gunning for anybody.
Then why are you going to see Frank?
Well, I told you. I want to talk to him.
Talk? Listen, you've got to get out of town.
My dear girl...
Don't you know who they are?
Should I?
You don't know what you've done. Quick, this way.
She took my hand and ran back up the street. We ducked down a narrow alleyway, up a rickety flight of stairs, which was the back entrance of the Empire Hotel... Then along a musty corridor, past my room, and into hers.
Oh. I don't think they'll think of looking for you here.
Your friend Mr. Farley is going to be quite upset if they do.
His name's not Farley. Clanton isn't Clanton. They're the Shelton boys.
Shelton? The New Mexico Shelton boys?
There's four of them. Brothers.
What are they doing in South Sunday?
Hiding out from Billy the Kid. Dake killed one of Billy's men. Billy swore to get them all for it. Why, Frank won't let anybody carry a gun.
How do you know all this?
It was my husband Dake killed. Harry joined up with Billy for excitement, I guess. One time he was gone out of town 3 months. I was lonesome. I met Dake. When Harry came back, they had a fight over me. Dake outdrew him. We ran away together.
And you thought I'd come after them, that Billy had sent me?
They'll think it too now.
Lila, who made Frank sheriff here?
Nobody. There wasn't one when we came. He just took over. Funny thing is, I guess he's a pretty good sheriff. He's quit the old ways and likes it here.
Why have you told me all this?
I don't know. You talked with me like I was a lady. The Indian treats his squaw better than Dick treats me. Maybe I wanted to see you finish him.
And it's not going to be very pleasant for you anymore.
Pleasant? Oh, mister, you got a funny way of saying things.
Lila, is there anywhere you could go? Friends?
In South Sunday?
No, what about home? I mean, Ohio.
Home. Know what it'd cost to get there? I got no money.
But if you could.
If I could. I had nice folks. I don't even know if they're alive or dead. But I'd sure like to take a chance and find out.
Well, Lila, we'll see what we can do.
Where are you going now?
I had that talk with Frank. Do you know how to use a gun?
Yes.
Take this one. Lock yourself in after I've gone.
You keep it.
Huh?
I've got a derringer.
Oh, all right. Here. In case I have any trouble, it's only $50.
I don't want your money.
Well, at least you'll be able to get out of town. Now, take it.
Watch yourself, will you? Dake's got a mean draw.
I'll watch myself. The Shelton brothers and probably two of their chums were out looking for me now, and I was pretty certain of that. I was looking for them, too, but the advantage was on their side. The town was strange to me. So I went to the one place where I was fairly sure I'd be safe from a surprise attack. Careful. Keep your hands where they are.
You're Kendall?
I'm Kendall.
Billy the Kid sent you. Now listen,
You may very slowly, carefully unbuckle your gun belt and let it drop to the floor. If you try to be foolish and brave, I shall be delighted to shoot you in the stomach.
Not me, Mr. Kendall. See, just like you say.
Which Shelton are you?
Monroe.
Very well, Monroe. I wish you to walk to that cell in the far corner, go in, and close the door behind you. You will then stand with your back to the door.
You wouldn't kill me.
Oh, yes, I would. Close it, please. Good. Turn around, please. Now, I'm going to gag you. In order to do so, I must put my guns away and use two hands. If by any chance your friends come in and you make an outcry while I'm doing this, I shall teach you a trick I learned in India. It feels something like this. Effective, don't you think?
Yeah.
Right. Now, head close to the bars, please. Oh, by the way, how many are there looking for me? Two?
Three.
Ah, three. There. Now, we'll make ourselves comfortable and wait for your brothers. They're coming. Now, remember what I told you, Monroe. Not a sound.
Kendall! We know you're in there!
Blast.
Kendall! You hear me?
Is there a back door?
Come out with your hands up! Or we're coming in after you!
Let's get that gag off. I can see I'm going to need you.
What are you going to do?
I'll probably have to end up killing you. Nothing personal, you understand.
What do you say, Kendall?
Out you come.
Open the door and throw your guns out.
I've got a much better idea. You open the door and throw your guns in.
Monroe, are you in there?
Tell him.
Yeah, I'm in here, Frank.
Kendall, you come on out. Maybe we can make a deal. You can keep your gun.
I think it'd be safer if you came in without yours.
We could rush you. You couldn't get all three of us.
You have my permission. I don't know how your brother will feel about it.
You want to tell him?
Now, don't do anything crazy, Frank. He's got a gun in my head. He'll kill me. Frank!
I hate to do this, but I'm afraid I don't believe you.
No, no. Hey, Frank, he's gonna shoot. You do what he says.
All right, all right. Hand up. We'll open the door. Throw in our gun. You give us your word you won't shoot?
Not unless you do. Any more?
No. We're coming in now.
Well, a pleasant family reunion. The brothers Shelton. Keep your hands where I can see them, won't you?
Now look. Kid made a mistake about what happened down south. Dake didn't mean to kill Lila's husband, did you, Dake?
I drew him, that's all.
Yeah, that's the way it was. Lila knows. It was a fair fight. She'll tell you.
Speaking of Lila, I hope she's well.
Oh, she's fine. Mm. Now, we got no fight with the kid or you. Now, why don't we all go on down to the saloon and have a drink, huh? Talk it over. Oh, me and my brothers have been living a nice, quiet life up here. We don't want to make no trouble. Get him, Jake!
My arm! Thank you!
Completely dishonorable and most unwise.
Frank!
Any more hidden armaments?
You going to kill us?
It depends. Mr. Shelton, have you got $500?
Yeah, reckon so.
Lila wants to go home. That's about what it'll cost. You have the money here.
Yeah, I should say. Mm-hmm. Well, sure, she could take the boat out when it leaves in the morning. Ain't that so, Dave?
Sure, she could.
Get it. Ah, good. That settles the account. Now, all of you, get into the cell. Oh, incidentally, until this evening, I had no idea who you were. And I've certainly never met your friend, Billy the Kid. I thought you'd like to know.
Hey, what about Dake? He's got to have a doctor or he'll bleed to death.
He probably will. I'm going back to the hotel. If Lila's all right, I'll send a doctor. If she's not, we'll find an undertaker.
I want to thank you, Mr. Kendall.
It's nothing, Lila. Good luck.
You ever come Ohio way, you look me up. You hear?
I'll remember that. Oh.
You're a gentleman. I'll never forget you. Goodbye.
Morning, Mr. Kendall. Hear about the trouble last night?
Yes.
Sure must have been something. According to the sheriff, a whole gang rode in trying to shoot him up.
A gang?
Yep. Six of them. Dake Farley got hit in the arm.
Really?
The sheriff ran him off, though.
Marvelous. I'll have to mention that in my article to the London Times. Now, I wonder, has that letter from England arrived yet?
Nope, I'm afraid not. Mail's already come in. Won't be any more till next week.
Well, when it does come, perhaps you'll be kind enough to forward it to me.
Sure. What address?
In care of the express office, Rosebud, Montana Territory.
Frontier Gentleman was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Jack Crucian, Virginia Gregg, Stacey Harris, Harry Bartell, and Barney Phillips. Music was composed and conducted by Jerry Goldsmith. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentleman. Johnny Jacobs speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
The great chief of the Sioux Indians is Sitting Bull. He's a rather difficult chap to meet, especially when he's planning for war.
Frontier Gentleman. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual accounts. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
The distance from South Sunday to Rosebud in Montana Territory is about 30 miles. Due to a heavy rainstorm and my lack of funds, it had taken me a week to reach Rosebud. Luckily, when I arrived, my remittance from England, $250, had already been forwarded, and I was once again solvent. After posting off my weekly report to the London Times, I went to the most likely place in Rosebud to get local color and information. Except for the bartender polishing his glasses and a cat on the bar, the place was quite empty. I ordered a drink.
Two bits.
Thank you.
It's all right. Hush up, cat. Where are you from, mister?
London.
London, England?
That's right.
Well, if that don't beat all, my great-grandpa come from there. Uh-huh. Jackson Beeson's the name.
J.B. Kendall.
Well, howdy.
How do you do, sir? Tell me, Mr. Beeson, what's the situation with the Indians these days?
Well, now you come to the right place for that bit of news. Oh, get away, cat. Yes, sir, we're going to have trouble. You can thank your stars that we got General Gibbon here keeping an eye out. I hear tell Custer's on his way, too.
Oh, bad as that, huh?
Worse. Well, just yesterday, correspondence fella, like you, he come in, works on the Montana Telegraph News. Jackson, he says, them Sioux is working up to a boil. Oh, it's going to be wicked. Mighty wicked.
Do you think it'll mean war?
I don't have to think. I know. You cat, get out of here. Go on, get out. Get out. Darn cat's a regular drunkard.
This correspondent chap, is he still here?
Charlie Meeker? Oh, sure, he's around somewhere.
I'd like to meet him.
Right nice fella. Now, you might try up to Dolly's place, cross the street there, second house on the right. Can't miss it. Just ask for Charlie. He rooms at Dolly's.
Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. And look, if he ain't there, I'll tell him you're looking for him when he comes back. You stop by tonight.
Right.
Well, hello, early bird.
Good afternoon, madam. this is Dolly's place?
Why, sure it is. You come on in. It's nice and warm inside, honey.
I'm looking for a gentleman named Charles Meeker.
Charlie? What do you want with him?
Oh, well, I was told I could find him here. The bartender...
Jack Beeson sent you?
Yes.
Well, all right. Well, step inside. I'm freezing. Mary! Go wake up, Charlie. There's a fella here to see him. I guess you better wait in the parlor. Say, now, I hope you'll forgive the looks of this room. Some of the boys got a little rowdy last night. We haven't cleaned it up yet.
Not at all. Charming.
You're new in Rosebud, ain't you?
Yes.
Well, that's nice. That's real nice. I can see you're a gentleman. It's always nice to meet a gentleman. Sit down. Make yourself comfortable. Mr.
Kendall.
Well, Mr. Kendall... You're a friend of Charlie's, huh?
No, we've never met.
Well, he's a nice boy. He's real nice. He sure never forgets me. Anytime he's in these parts, he brings old Dolly a present. Can I get you a drink?
No, thanks just the same.
Hey, you ain't a dominie, are you?
Dom?
A preacher?
Oh, no.
Well, I sure do admire to hear you talk. I wish you'd say something else.
Somebody looking for me, Dolly?
Oh, this here's Mr. Kendall, Charlie boy.
All right.
How do you do, sir?
Well, you got business to talk, so make yourselves at home. It's sure been a pleasure, Mr. Kendall. Maybe you'll call again.
Thank you very much.
You'll have to excuse me, Kendall. I just woke up. Big night. Oh. And a big head. What can I do for you?
I understand you write for a newspaper, Mr. Meeker.
Charlie. Yeah, Virginia City, Montana Telegraph News.
I know. I do some correspondence myself for the London Times.
Hey, I'm proud to meet you.
May I return the compliment? Look here. Is it true what I've been hearing, these rumors about a Sioux uprising?
Yeah, more than rumors. It's coming.
Well, this chief, Sitting Bull, have you ever seen him?
Once, a few years back. Big council between one of our government commissions and the Indians.
Oh, I'd like to meet him. See him, you know?
No, not a chance. Not anymore. A while ago, maybe, but those Indians don't trust the white man now. I tell you, they're getting ready for war.
Is there any way to make contact with him?
Probably. There's plenty of Indian scouts, interpreters hereabouts who could, but for a white man, it'd be worth his scalp.
How would one go about it?
Are you serious?
Completely. Do you know where I could find him?
I got a pretty good idea. You want a drink?
No, thank you.
There's talk of a whole lot of Indians moving off the reservations, going up Tongue River country. Might be headed for Sitting Bull's camp.
How far would that be?
30 miles, maybe. Now, listen, mister. When the Sioux go on the warpath, the best place for you and me is someplace else.
Well, do you think you could find me one of those Indian scouts? Someone to guide me to Sitting Bull's camp?
You mean it, don't you?
Absolutely.
What a story. Interview with Chief Sitting Bull? Oh, it's crazy. They'd kill us, sure. No, Kendall, the best thing for you is to talk to some of the old-timers. They'll tell you about him, and then you can send your report in on that. It's a whole lot safer.
That evening in Beeson's saloon, Charlie Meeker found a half-breed interpreter, Johnny Duchelle. He was a big man, dark, with handsome features, and when he smiled, which he did constantly, there was something at odds in his eyes, veiled, a coldness. He was playing a game of solitaire, and as he dealt his cards, I noticed that inside his sleeve was a wrist holster, strapped to it a derringer.
You want to talk with Sitting Bull?
That's right, Johnny.
Him too?
Me too.
Suppose he don't want any talk with you. Suppose he want to take your scalp.
That would be rather awkward.
Johnny, how well do you know the chief?
How well does any man know another?
Charlie says you've done scouting work for General Crook. Well, doesn't that make you Sitting Bull's enemy?
Yesterday I scout for the soldier. Tomorrow maybe I fight with the Indian. Who knows?
Yes. Well, the point would seem to be, whose side are you on if you do guide us?
If I do this thing, you put your trust in me.
I see.
Well, what do you say, Johnny? Can you take us to him?
Black ace on the red two.
Yeah. You got $50, silver?
Kind of high, isn't it?
Sitting Bull, one big chief. You want me to take you to Red Cloud, Crazy Horse? Maybe cost less.
What do you think, Kendall?
I'm not sure.
Maybe you find somebody, do it for less. He take you to Indian, cut out your heart, huh?
Now, Johnny's all right. 25 apiece would be worth it.
All right. When, Johnny?
Tomorrow.
Fine.
Take no guns.
Hey, wait a minute.
Indians see you with guns, they say you coming for no good. Without guns, in peace. No guns.
It's sort of risky, isn't it, Johnny?
Not with me along with you.
What time?
We meet outside the state station. 6 o'clock.
See you then.
Well, then you better give it to me right now.
Well, you still want to go?
I'm not sure about that fellow.
That's a chance you take these days. We can back out.
No. But to be on the safe side, Charlie, I think two guns in shoulder holsters would make me feel a bit better.
Sure. You got them? Never use a gun myself.
No. Oh, yes, yes, I've got them. Look here, Charlie. Now, this is my idea. No need for you to come along, you know.
What's the matter? You want the story for yourself?
No, no, not that at all.
I'm sorry.
I only thought that...
Forget it. We'll go together. Hey, how about coming over to Dolly's with me for nightcap?
No, thanks. Not tonight. Sleep for me.
Oh. Well, see you in the morning. We can pick up horses at the livery stable. So long.
I watched him walk away, a rather short, thin man, shoulders a little rounded. And then he was lost in the shadows, and I had that odd sensation of having lived this moment before. It had been in Peshawar, in northern India. I remembered a good friend who had walked away from me in the night. The next morning, his head was thrown through the barracks window.
In a moment, we return to Frontier Gentlemen. Laugh and the world laughs with you. Cry and say, where'd everybody go? Chances are they've taken off in the direction of CBS Radio's Peter and Mary show. Peter Lind Hayes and Mary Healy have a magic way of banishing the blues. Their amusing notions about practically everything, the easy way they sing their songs, and the exciting personalities who visit them all make CBS Radio's Peter and Mary show a cure for the blues. Listen for them on most of these same stations tomorrow. And now we return you to Anthony Ellis' production of Frontier Gentlemen.
The morning was gray, a bit windy. We left Rosebud at 6 o'clock and rode steadily toward the southeast. I could see no sign of a gun on our guide, Johnny Duchelle, but his bulky jacket could have hidden an arsenal. For perhaps over an hour, we didn't speak. Charlie, red-eyed from want of sleep and too much whiskey, nodded in his saddle. The half-breed traveled a little ahead of us, cautious, watchful.
Hey, Kendall.
Yes?
Never drink Dolly's Rotgut.
I won't.
I can take the pepper, even the tobacco juice she puts in it, but that whiskey...
You know, we had a cure for your complaint in India.
Oh?
Curry powder, ginger, a snake's head, preferably a cobra, a big spoon of sugar, stew the whole thing in a pot of strong tea and then drink it down. Exactly. It's a miraculous cure. You'd probably end up chucking the whole mess out the window, but you forgot your headache.
What were you doing in India?
Army, mostly.
Officer?
At one time, captain.
See much fighting?
Enough.
Oh, you with?
Cavalry regiment.
You don't like to talk about it much, do you?
No, not much.
Hey, better hold up. Johnny's seen something.
In timber. Cheyenne, I think. You stay. I talk to them.
How many? Can you see?
5 or 6. Might be others in the woods.
You know something funny? I'm scared.
I think about your headache.
No, thanks. Too close to my hair. You ever see a scalp man?
No. But I shouldn't worry. The tribesmen do much nastier things to get their trophies in India.
Johnny must know them. Look.
All very friendly. Hello. They must have given their blessings.
You think so?
Either that or Johnny's made an arrangement with them to cut our throats. He looks happy enough.
That tall wolf and his brave. They will ride to the council. Tell of our coming.
Glad to hear it.
We go on now.
Johnny smiled, turned away, and we rode on. I had the distinct feeling that he knew exactly what he was doing, and we didn't. Another hour passed. If there were more Indians about, we didn't see them. The terrain was becoming more rugged, and when we reached a narrow stream, Johnny called a halt.
We rest the horses.
All right.
Think I'll get myself a drink. Water, that is.
Funny we haven't seen any more Indians, Johnny.
They all at great council.
Mm. You seem pretty sure we won't be attacked.
I told Tall Wolf. You come in peace.
Possibly there are others beside Tall Wolf who won't feel as he does.
Possibly. We see at the council.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're not worried, though.
I am not worried.
You're smiling.
Good for a man to smile.
Depends on his reason.
I smile because you paid me 50 silver dollars to bring you here.
Tell me, Johnny, what will it cost to take us back?
The cost to you will not matter. I think you will not be going back.
He
made a slight movement with his hand, and a derringer appeared in it. For a moment, I had forgotten his wrist holster. He was standing no more than 4 feet from me, and I didn't move. If you'd ever seen what a .41 derringer can do to a man, you'd understand. Then he brought out a revolver from his jacket and backed away a few steps. That was when I saw Charlie at the stream. He had a rock in his hand, his arm cocked back. At the moment he threw it, the half-breed turned and saw him. Where are you hit, Charlie?
Chest. Boy, that feels worse than Dolly's rot gut.
He's not dead?
No, I'm not dead, you stinking breed.
You, Kendall, take off your jacket.
Ah.
Untie those shoulder holsters. Let them fall to the ground. Move back. Stop. You both got more silver. Give it to me.
I'll spit in your eye first.
I told Tall Wolf, I take you to Sitting Bull as my prisoner, alive. He will think well of me, give me place of trust.
Your own mother wouldn't trust you, Johnny.
With much silver, two horses, even a stinking breed will be important man. Give it to me.
You'll find a bag in my jacket.
Good. Now, you both, you walk. I ride behind.
Can you get up, Charlie?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll help you.
It's
my fault. I should have done something sooner. I wasn't sure about him.
Walk! Cross the stream. Follow the trail.
Come on. Lean on me.
I can't go on anymore.
He is dead?
Let me put him on a horse.
He called me stinking breed. Let him walk.
He can't. He's done in.
Then you carry him.
Let him rest for a minute.
A minute.
Charlie, can you hear me? Listen to me, Charlie. The trail narrows a few yards along. There's a slope on our left. Do you hear me, Charlie?
Yeah.
I'm going to let you fall. If I can get him to take his eyes off me, there's a knife in my boot.
All right.
Come on.
Good luck.
All right, Charlie. Up you come. Getting close, Charlie. Now, when you fall, keep your head down in case he starts shooting.
What a way to die. I could hit Dolly right now.
If we get back alive, I'll join you. About 10 more steps, Charlie. Now, Charlie. For a moment, I had a glimpse of Charlie sliding, falling down the hill slope. Then he disappeared into the underbrush. I turned to face Johnny Duchelle, the knife in my hand. Johnny was standing in his stirrups, craning his head to see over the trail's edge. He was no more than 15 feet from me. It must have been the horse shifting its weight that disturbed my aim. I threw, and the knife struck high on his shoulder. He half fell from the saddle, and I ran for him. I felt one of the bullets from his gun burn my cheek. Then we were rolling down the hill. Somewhere on the way, he lost the gun, but the knife was stabbing.
Cutting at me.
Charlie! It's all right. It's all right, Charlie. He's finished. He's finished.
Something tells me we don't get to see Sitting Bull today.
Better luck next time.
Hey, Kendall. Whiskey's paid for. But I owe Dolly for room and board. It's only...
Charlie? Charlie? I took Charlie back to Rosebud, to Dolly's place. She had me put the little man on the parlor couch. Then she knelt by his side, took his hand in hers.
Charlie, boy, it's Dolly. This was my place, huh, mister? Like the one I never had. My good, bad boy. Dolly misses you, Charlie boy. Wake up, son.
Most of Rosebud attended the funeral of Charles Meeker. I sent the story to his own newspaper, as well as to the London Times. And for Charlie, I decided to stay on in Rosebud to have another shot at a meeting with Sitting Bull.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Jeanette Nolan, Lawrence Dobkin, Harry Bartell, and Junius Matthews. Music was composed by Jerry Goldsmith and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Later today, you'll have five more engrossing dramas waiting for you on CBS Radio, starting with Suspense, which today stars Herbert Marshall. You can look forward to plenty of action and plenty of thrills with yours truly, Johnny Dollar, the FBI in Peace and War, Indictment, and Gunsmoke. For good listening, keep listening to CBS Radio. Now, stay tuned for the Ford Road Show, which follows immediately over most of these same stations. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. Johnny Jacobs speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Saving money on everything for your projects at Menards. Update your outdoor space with our huge in-stock selection of AC2 pressure treated lumber, decking, and fencing. Load up big savings using our drive-through lumber yard. Plus, get free estimates fast using our deck and fence design programs. Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals. Save big money.